Okay, well, good morning, ladies. Thank you for coming to the How to Shoot Your Faith workshop. I'm Courtney Berry. I've been attending Brienne since the end of 2017. My husband, Jeremy, is 17 years old in the Army, and we homeschool three out of our four boys. I am not a public speaker. I haven't done public speaking in probably over 10 years. So when Bonnie called, I was pretty nervous, but I knew that I would just grow even more in this area that the Lord had already been preparing me for. So I took the challenge, and so that means any of you ladies in the future, if you're apprehensive, don't be too quick to say no, because you will grow. You will definitely grow. So I'm excited to share what I learned, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this time together with ladies who are just committed to growing in you. I pray that you just bless this time and my efforts to teach these women to be bold proclaimers of your truth. I am asking for grace, Father, for nervousness to melt away, and that we would just all walk away encouraged and strengthened to do what you have commissioned us to do. We love you, Lord, and just help us show this love to the world. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start off with a icebreaker activity. Who's heard of the Romans Road to Salvation? It's kind of an older one. I learned it over 10 years ago at a previous church. And the idea is to take specific verses from the book of Romans and walk someone through their need for salvation. So I'm going to pass out these papers. Whoever is the quickest to answer wins the prize. So I'm going to pack it up face down. And actually, I'm going to pick up the other one. Pass that down. Make sure to put your name on there. Maybe move down. If I have any extra, I should move that one. Flip it over, fill it as best you can. Oh, no, ma'am. We are. I mean, you can, but it would just be slower. Bring it up when you're done. Whoever is the first.
I'm not
ready. And you're so forgetting. I'm not surprised you're
here. I don't know. Text is right, though, because I can't use my phone.
Okay. I wouldn't say it's a more common way, but it is one. Alright, we're going to move on to the theme passage. It's for Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good news of good things. So this workshop is, like I said earlier, as much for me as it is for you ladies. I'm not even close to perfect in sharing my faith. I shrink back and miss opportunities just like the rest of us. Yet the Bible does tell us that the righteous shall live by faith. And so if we are to be living by this faith, we certainly need to be knowing it and proclaiming it. So an hour is not nearly enough time to cover this topic. It can kind of be a hot topic on how to share it. Christians, I have found in my researches, differ on what sharing their faith is, why even do it, and how. So my two goals for this workshop would be just to get you to think deeper about this area of your walk with Christ, and just to get you to start somewhere. So I have a couple practical methods that we'll practice the second half of the workshop, just to get our feet wet in this area, depending on how far we learn more. So first things first, in sharing your faith, what do we need to have? Well, obviously a love for the Lord and a willingness to obey, and his word. Now, I do have a note. God can use a talking donkey to communicate his truth. We saw that in the Old Testament. But we want to please him and submit to his will. We don't want to have our arms twisted and be so consumed with the fear of man and the fear of not knowing. And what do we need to do? Well, we need to be fulfilling the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another thing we need to be doing is cooperating with the Holy Spirit in our sanctification process. And I love how this workshop has all of, starting from the keynote all the way down, it's all tied in. So you're probably going to hear a lot of repeat phrases, which is fine because we need that as humans. It sticks better that way. We need to pray for this specific area of our walk with Christ. Oh, sorry. I do have a little bit more. So obviously, sharing our faith is hard. Who struggles with sharing your faith? Yes. It's really, it's such an offense to present to someone that they're a sinner on their way to hell. It's a killjoy, because our hearts are joy factories. We're going to want to just dive into pleasures. And so when a sinner is just eyeball deep in all of that, it's really hard to tell them, hey, look, no, you're in danger. Charles Spurgeon said, we must educate and train ourselves to deal personally with the unconverted. We must not excuse ourselves, but force ourselves to the irksome task until it becomes easy. More recent evangelist Ray Comfort says, evangelism is as exciting as a root canal. It can certainly seem that way sometimes, but not proclaiming the good news is unloving to the unsaved. It's like a doctor who, in order to not upset the patient, will withhold the diagnosis and then, in essence, the cure. And so we do need to be communicating this to the world. It takes boldness, it takes preparation, it takes prayer, it takes being intentional. So we're going to just quickly go over the difference between evangelism and apologetics. They do overlap. Evangelism is sharing your faith. It's great for announcing a good message. Synonyms you'll find in scripture are witnessing, proclaiming, or preaching the gospel or good news, making them the gospel. Another quick note, sharing your faith, start to finish, sharing your faith is not saying things like, God bless you, have a nice day, wearing a cross necklace, saying, smile, Jesus loves you. They can be great conversation starters. They just can't be the starting and stopping of sharing the good news to an unbeliever. Apologetics is a more, it can be more deep planned out process where it's great for giving a defense. So it's more rigorous than evangelizing. It's going to involve debates and systematic argumentation and things like that. Paul in Colossians tells us to not let anyone delude us with persuasive arguments. He also says to walk in wisdom toward outsiders and have our words seasoned with salt so that we will know how to answer each person. And then Peter tells us to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So we don't want to be in the fire and brimstone category. Okay, we don't, like Pam said, we don't want to just be on the side of sinners going to hell. We don't want to do that. Yet we do need to give truth. And the grace is the gentleness and respect. Okay, apologetics like you need it. Another, two other terms I wanted to discuss are contradictions versus paradoxes. So apologetics, since it's a little more planned out, thought out, contradictions are ideas that just clash. They go against each other. There's no harmony. And you will hear it said that the Bible is filled with contradictions. And even some Christians may be confused and say, well, yeah, I don't really know how to explain that. And so we don't need to have the answer to every question, but we do need to talk about the difference between a contradiction and a paradox. So the paradoxes are harmonious. They sound like they would be clashing at first, but further instruction revealed actually that it's an us problem, it's an us knowledge problem, and so they are harmonious. Peter in 2 Peter 3:16 said that there are some passages we don't understand due to our ignorance. So as we become more perfect in the Lord, as we move glory to glory, we're going to find harmony with these passages that we used to struggle with or that people still do. I do have a scenario that I took from Pastor Doug Wilson. And he did this scenario because sometimes Christians can be like this with the Bible. So he said, imagine a mugger coming up to rob a man. And so he's pushing the gun in his back and says, give me all your money. So the man responds with, well, I'm sorry, I don't believe in guns. And so the mugger says, well, oh, I didn't realize that. And he puts his gun away and then walks away. And so we can get like that with the Bible where we get kind of thrown off when a non-believer is like, well, I don't believe in God, or I don't read the Bible, or it's just, it's an archaic book, it doesn't apply to me. So we need to just be so confident and sure on this rock of salvation that we have. Oh, also, A.W. Pink said, the Bible is no lazy man's book. Much of its treasure, like the valuable minerals stored in the bowels of the earth, only yield up themselves to the diligent seeker. So as we're just growing in our Christian walk in general, and then specifically related to evangelizing, it's not a lazy man's book, and we just always need to be learning and growing, and then sharing it with others. Okay, obstacles and excuses. In my studies, I just snagged 10 of them. And the excuses or obstacles we could have, and then responses, biblical responses to them. So number one, I'm not outgoing. And we could see in Exodus 4 for Moses, that was essentially his excuse. I'm not eloquent in speech, Lord, going before the Pharaoh, super intimidating, don't want to do that. And God essentially is like, I made your mouth, so I'm going to equip you for this. Next is, I don't know enough. And so 1 John 2:20 says that the Holy Spirit is teaching us and guiding us, and Becca Hawk, she touched on that in worship, that we have the Spirit. We're not left alone, and we can't do it on our own. Also, Hebrews 5 tells us to move from milk to meat. So the I don't know enough is good because it's going to push us to the Word. It can't stop us, though. Another, I might make a mistake. Failure helps us learn. Obviously, we don't want to be purposely failing, but when we're going and fumbling about in our interactions with others, when we're trying to communicate our faith, we're not going to get it perfect, and we're going to fail, we're going to fall, but we have to get back up, which ties into the next one. I try being bold, and it doesn't work. And Proverbs 24:16 tells us to write it up again. This is the commission from our King, and so we just can't be tied down with any of these obstacles. I don't have the gift of evangelism is another one I found, and Ephesians 4:11 talks about evangelists being a spiritual gift. But they are equipping the church to go out and evangelize. So it's not just for the few specific, bold, eloquently charismatic people. It's for all of us. Another is, I am so busy and have no time. Which, having four kids, yes, I totally get it. Super busy, super small. Especially when they're little, you've got to focus on them, so you don't want to shift your focus from caring for your kids to witnessing. So we can get tied up in that. But good, I've heard it said, good is the enemy of best. So we can get wrapped up in a lot of wholesome, good, benefiting activities. That we just lose that kingdom focus, and we need to remember why we're here, to proclaim his glory. That's by spreading the gospel. Next is you need to be friends before you share the gospel. And if you notice, I have friendship in caps and then evangelism kind of smaller, because when we take that approach, it tends to be only focused on the friendship part and not really talking about the Lord. I found the longer that I'm friends with someone and not trying to take the conversation in a spiritual direction, the more it's just the friendship part and I'm not talking about the Lord. I'm praying for them to be sure, but I'm not actually evangelizing. Next is they will see me live a godly life. Let's just let them watch me live my life. And we know from Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. We have to physically be opening our mouth and speaking the good news. Probably the next one is, gets most of us, I'm too scared. I'm just too scared to be doing this. Revelation 2:10, do not fear your suffering. We don't want a fear of man to be dominating us. We need to have fear of the Lord. And then sometimes it's just apathy. I don't really know how common this one is, but I found apathy for the lost can be a struggle. So just praying for a softened and obedient heart to be interacting with those who are perishing. We don't know who's going to respond. We're going to plant and water those seeds, so somebody can seem totally lost and have been for years. So we need to just be obedient. I did want to pause here. Anyone want to add to this or have a question? Which ones do you struggle with the most? Any sort of feedback at this point? Grab some water.
I would confess something. Mm-hmm. What I struggle with the most would be that you need to be friends before you share the gospel. I mean, you've heard people only care what you know and they know how much you care.
Yes.
And that whole thing. But that implies I have some control over them receiving the words and it's not me. So I just to confess that and the condition I feel because I have no control over the outcome. So just share.
So, in a great term that I heard, instead of friendship evangelism, and I'm going to go over this in a little bit, is relational evangelism. Because when I came across that one, that's like all I've ever done is just friendship evangelism. It's kind of a newer idea, too. And so, we'll go more into that to try to see if we can make it easier to shift gears from just the friendship part and then watching us live a godly life. Because those are all great ways to launch off into being more intentional about sharing the gospel.
I probably struggled with I don't know enough and I might make a mistake. And I like what you said about evangelism versus apologetics. I feel like I need to have all the apologetics in case they ask all those things.
Yeah.
And will they think that my faith is floundering if I don't know, that it's not rooted on the foundation, like a firm foundation, if I don't have all those answers?
Yeah. But as in the growing process, if we're planting seeds and watering them and the Lord's the one who's doing the work, we're just a mouthpiece for the Lord. Even if you feel like you failed it, you just can't foresee what the future is going to hold. And so just being faithful and growing in the boldness is worth flopping on your face.
Yeah.
You still want to learn from that, obviously, and try to not maybe make those same mistakes the next time. But yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. For me, it's I don't have the gift of evangelism.
Yeah, I thought that was a very interesting one. When I was researching, I said, oh, yes, okay, yeah, that would seem like it's for specific people. But when I was trying to contextually look at it, it was equipping others to go out and do that work.
You're saying the gift of evangelism is the gift of equipping others to evangelize?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Can I
just ask one real quick? Oh, yes. You know, there is actually a spiritual gift inventory test, one of those things where you go through and you see what your spiritual gifts are.
Yes.
But in reality, what I took the test is that even though some things you score higher on, you do score on everything. So you have all of these gifts.
Yeah.
I usually find that with these tests that you know, I've taken most of them, all of the personality tests and everything, many different times over the years, they change as you change and you grow.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and you're always being led. So there's nothing wrong with, like, okay, well, maybe today this is not the one I'm strong at, but, you know, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, I find myself a year or two down the road doing the same thing. I'm like, wow, maybe it's a little different. I'm uncomfortable with my shoes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Related to the not knowing enough, I have on your ladies page a link for Answers in Genesis. And they have a free resource where they go over common world religions and cults of Christianity, just to get a little more knowledge on different people you may encounter. That could be another barrier, just feeling like we don't know enough. One way to start paving the way for someone who is in a world religion or cult is to ask them what they specifically believe, because just because they may be a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness doesn't mean they believe everything that's from their faith. Last year, during my son's soccer season, I befriended a Muslim. I started off with just asking about her head covering, because she had been, like, wearing it all the time, and so I just tried to, like, launch that from that. And she seemed kind of obviously reluctant to talk to me and about spiritual matters, but what helped her was when I was like, well, do you have a book that you recommend to people read if they're curious about the Muslim faith? So that piqued her interest. When I took an interest in her religion, she was like, oh, yeah, I do. So I gave her a book. She gave me her book, and so as soon as she started reading mine, of course, she got a massive headache and didn't touch it again. And so that was toward the end of the soccer season. I gave her my cell number, and I said, hey, if you have any more questions, please contact me. I'll be praying for you. Just trying to plant seeds of doubt for the way to salvation for other religions. Hers was, I'm trembling all the time, and I don't know, and I can never be sure. So just trying to encourage her in that. I have another friend who's a Jehovah's Witness who's been living in me for over 10 years now. I've expressed concern to her about the Bible translation she uses. It's just a completely twisted translation. Sending, I have to mail her literature because they won't take literature. So I've had to mail her books about how Jesus is God, and she's just convinced that she's a believer. Will still come and visit me. So if she's going to come visit, I'm still going to be praying and just putting in little plugs about, she came recently and I was like, oh yeah, we're in 1 John and we're going over different, falsehoods that people believe, like Jesus not being God. And then of course she quickly turns the conversation, but she still comes back. So I'm like, okay, I haven't said anything to offending yet, but we don't have to have all the answers. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit. And we just need to keep doing and plodding forward in this evangelism. Okay, so I have a little chart here, this spectrum, if you will, of where you land in sharing your faith. Where you think you currently are, where you would like to be going. In my studies, I found, we touched on the friendship evangelism, it's that being friendly with others, hoping that your cheerful demeanor will win them to Christ. Relational evangelism, preaching Christ right where God has placed you. I feel that Brian really puts this kind of sharing your faith out there. Pastor Sean, how many times he's been saying it, preach Christ right where you are. So where you are in your neighborhood, your job, your school, etc. Then you have the most of bold, intentional street evangelism. I mentioned Ray Comfort earlier, one of the more modern evangelists I listen to, and he just goes right out there on the street and just—he truly has a gifting. No, he would say he's just got to get out there and practice, and I agree with that. But he just is very, very eloquent in talking to people of all kinds. But with truth and love. Not with this fire and brimstone kind of approach. Okay, so show of hands. How many of you ladies would say you're a good person? And you may know this is a trick question, which is
yeah, I did.
Okay, this is a true question. We are righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Blood of Christ is on us. But the world thinks they're a good person. That's why it's good to be putting that out there. Are you born again? Are you a good person? Those are real good indicators of seeing that the spiritual state of someone's heart a little bit better. Romans 3, no one is righteous, no, not one. The world is suppressing the truth about their sinful state, and God's holy standard they're violating. So the world needs to be told very clearly that they are in a sinner, that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. I've heard unbelievers say that they're just too blessed to think that any higher power is upset with them. And all that shows is that they're just not a child of God, and they're not being disciplined and convicted and chastised. Our main message to the lost, our first and main message, shouldn't be Jesus loves them, because they're in grave spiritual danger. They have the wrath of God on them at that current moment if they're not in Christ. And so if we are just starting a chapter with smile, Jesus loves you, they're not going to feel that pressure. They're not going to fear the healthy fear of the Lord. Now, you will have enemies against you sharing your faith in this upfront kind of way, where they will say you're just being judgmental, you're being legalistic. Peter rebuking Jesus about going to the cross, that was a betrayal from within. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, blessed are you when they exclude you. Preaching the law, like one of the ways I'm going to present, is not legalism. Legalism has to do with man-made rules, man-made traditions being pushed upon people for salvation. We just can't get distracted by others claiming that explaining the sinful nature of a person first is legalism or wrong. Proverbs 20, verse 6, we also read that man thinks he's good. So we need to balance it out, of course. Truth and love, this honestly hard truth. Okay. First method I'll be going over is the use of tracts. Now, who's heard of a tract before? Okay. On the table, you'll notice the Are You a Good Person tract. And so we're going to be, that's for you to take home, and we're also going to be using it in our method one here in a few minutes. And that's all related to the street evangelism category that I had up a few slides back. Another resource I have on the top of your ladies page is livingwaters.com. That's where I got the gospel tracts. I'm going to go ahead and pass these around to you. This is a starter kit of different types of gospel tracts where you're using the Bible in creative ways to get the message of salvation out. I'm going to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Let each one of us, if we have done nothing for Christ, begin to do something now. The distribution of tracts is the first thing. When preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a tract ready. Get a good, striking tract or none at all. But a touching gospel tract may be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without your tracts. So, the way that I mostly use tracts is called chicken evangelism. Have you heard of that? Chicken evangelism. You're being a chicken about handing the tract out, so you're just going to leave it behind somewhere. And that's the way I'm doing it a lot nowadays. So in the card reader at gas pumps, under pavilions at a park, like on a park bench, I've even heard shoving it in beer containers, like as you're grocery shopping, just put it in the box there. I have handed it out before at checkout for grocery. Just, hey, have you got one of these? Or, you know. Also, the most people I've done it point-to-point with is people who are asking for money. So I'll either attach a tract to a water bottle and hand it out, or I just keep like maybe 10 ones in my purse at any given time, and I'll give one or two ones with the tract out for who's ever asking. Because if I'm just handing the tract out, it's like just going on the ground. So if I have at least a dollar or two with it, and I know that can be controversial too, because there's a whole, you know, people making money off of that. Usually it's like really destitute looking people as I'm going to the grocery store, I'm like, okay. And they seem grateful for it, and they'll be reading it, so I'll kind of watch to see if they're actually looking at what I hand to them. Then the second method that we're going to try to practice is related to the relational evangelism category, and it's earthly to spiritual conversation starters. This method has the most creativity. It's probably going to be the one we most likely use as ladies because we're relational creatures. We just want to be connecting with others. So if we can't have good news unless there's potential for a bad news. So again, trying to figure out how to gracefully, but filled with truth, present someone's spiritual state to them is just, we need the Holy Spirit for that because it just sounds like an impossibility to be able to do that lovingly. So making sure we're not waiting too long in our attempts to communicate the gospel with someone because we're just not even guaranteeing the rest of today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells us that now is the day for salvation, and later on he warns us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So again, it's just, it's tricky. It's going to be requiring a careful balance. We know that bad company corrupts good character. And so we need to be wise as serpents, like the Bible says, innocent as doves, praying to the God of all wisdom for help in our day-to-day encounters with the world. Okay, practice time. Like I said, we have two methods. The first one is going to be using the track provided. I'm going to have Stephanie come up here.
Oh, let's see those.
Come up here and get them. Because we're growing it. We're getting out of there. So we're just going to read through this track together. I'm going to be the witnessing person. She's going to be the last person in the track. You can follow along because you're going to be using it in just a little bit. It kind of seems redundant to just be repeating that over and over. Because the person's going to pick up the track and read it. But I do want us to get used to this language of communicating the law to the lost so they can actually see their need for a Savior. Because like I said, if we're just talking about the love and God loves you and you're amazing and you're made in His image and all of that, they're not seeing the danger there. They're not seeing that that fear, that healthy fear, that's going to drive them to the cross. So when you guys pair off in a little bit, you're going to pick who's going to be the witnessing person and who's going to be the lost person. So I didn't grow up reading comics. So when I was going through this with my husband, he was laughing at me because he's like, what are you doing there? Just getting it all wrong. So we're gonna jump this. Okay. Meet Mr. Nice Guy. If good people go to heaven, he will be first in line.
Well, I try and do the right thing.
Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Hey, really? Well, do you mind if we look at them?
All right.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, who hasn't?
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once as a kid.
What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Of course.
Well, Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, Matthew 5:28. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Watch it, moron.
That's called blasphemy. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, Exodus 20:7. By your own admission, you're a liar, thief, blasphemer, and adulterer at heart, and that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Actually, it's worse than that. Sin isn't just doing things we shouldn't. It's also not doing the things we should. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin, James 4:17. There's more. Suppose we could put a device in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for a week and then play them on a movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be so embarrassing.
God knows the secrets of the heart, Psalm 44:21.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
True, but the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just 5 times a day, in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. If you live to be 70, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when each of us shall give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12.
But won't God just forgive me?
Well, try that in court.
I know I keep breaking the law, but can't you just let it slide?
Only a corrupt judge would do that. A good judge would say, justice demands that you pay for your crimes. God is a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that God, in his wrath, will cast all who sin against him into eternal fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 13:42.
Then how can anyone get to heaven?
There's only one way. If a sinless person offered to take your punishment, then justice would be served and you could go free. God loves sinners so much, he sent his son Jesus to suffer and die for their sins. Then he rose from the grave, defeating death. You can't earn eternal life. It is God's gift to all who humble themselves and trust in Jesus, have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. He will forgive your sins and give you a new heart. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Then read the Bible daily and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow and tell others the good news. Okay, ladies, this will be our first message. Yes, thank you for coming. Okay. So, just partner up wherever you're at. This is going to be the same partner you use when we get to method two about the conversations, which is a trickier one. So, who doesn't have a partner, though? Because then. Okay, so then you're just going to turn your partner, decide who's going to be that witnessing person, and who's going to refill us.
I'll let you be the witnessing person.
Okay. Well, I try to do it, right? Pretty much.
Do you mind if we
How can anyone get up and say, you are a good person?
Questions like, do you have a religious background? What do you think the main message of the Bible is?
Is the eternal life a free gift, or do you need to earn it? Has anyone ever explained the gospel to you before? So what I want you to do is, I'm going to set a timer for this one is not as cut and dry. You could do one. I doubt you'll get through all of them, especially the spiritual questions, because I mean, probably just one of those spiritual questions could get you going. This is where you didn't realize you also signed up for acting class. If you're the last person, make it kind of fun, you know?
Look at that. You know what I mean?
Throw them off.
No. Are you a Mormon? Are you a just hardcore atheist? I mean, New Age, a blend of everything. I've met a lot of that lately.
Who wants to role play rather than say our actual?
Because there's no actual lines for this one. So yeah, you wouldn't say your actual answers because. There's so many words on that page. I wish I organized it better. The scenario you'll see, where do I have that? In step two. Okay. Step two, in that area, it's a scenario. You're speaking to an unbelieving acquaintance. Someone you kind of already know. I mean, acquaintances can be pretty quick. This isn't like we met already. So you're speaking to an unbelieving acquaintance. You're spending some time getting to know them, and then you're just jumping off the diving board. You're asking one of those spiritual questions. Probably the least threatening is, do you have a religious background? I mean, people love talking about them. So it's nice to have questions like this in your back pocket to try to turn the conversation to the weighty spiritual matters. So, with that same partner, and switching roles.
So,
yeah,
again.
How long have you been living in this area?
Trying to reconvert the way we're going to do it. If you want to, you can look at it.
Like, I didn't get any of these ones.
No, me, I did not know any of
them. I mean, I know some of these, like, in general, but I don't know.
It's a 2006, yeah, so it's a pretty old curriculum here, but timeless methods, obviously, anything dealing with the Bible. And he has baby steps into sharing the gospel, starting with just greeting people that you wouldn't think about greeting. Like if you're grocery shopping and someone's stopping the aisle, hey, how are you doing today? I've had people turn around like, are you talking to me? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, especially after COVID too, and like having to wear masks and stuff, like it's just harder to be personal with people. I mean, we're still kind of in the South, but just genuinely investing in people and caring and how are you doing? You know, the cashiers have their name badges on. Hey, Lily, how's it going there? You know, just being friendly and caring and investing in others. And so this is, I'm really looking forward to finishing it, but just getting halfway through it has just been really encouraging and emboldening in sharing this faith that we have. So, takeaways. please, I pray you, lady, please, encouraged and emboldened, not discouraged and overwhelmed, not another thing, oh, great, I'm not doing this at all, or I'm not doing it well. Just take the knowledge, take it, and just little by little. I mean, we are not growing in each and every from this Christian walk. It's just a slow process. So don't be discouraged and overwhelmed. Just pray. Just be praying about this area of your walk with Christ and just start somewhere. And tracks are probably the easiest, I would say. Easiest to just be plopping them down and then just trying to launch from there. So I want to wrap up with any questions that you may have.
You know, they did have to be in the master here. I mean, we did have we went to one of the sessions that came to the grant, and so I thought I had it in my pocketbook, but I changed pocketbooks, and but it left a little card.
I have the card in my wallet. It's a prompt card with these acronyms on it, and it helps guide you through taking charge of the conversation, where you definitely want to be listening to what the person is saying, but it's so easy to get sidetracked. And so, they don't have it anymore. So the Barnes family is who we did it with, and they said that it used to be on the shelf. So
yes.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, it's not this way is not the most popular nowadays, especially in this PC, everybody can get so offended about things, culture. But there is a way to be presenting the truth in a loving way.
Mm-hmm. Can I share a word of encouragement?
Yes.
Okay. I used to go out quite a lot and talk to a lot of different people. I haven't gotten away from it. I've become complacent. Prayer life is fantastic. Getting in the Word, I've been just lazy. And so I'm trying to get back, and that's why when my daughter wanted to be in the class, I wanted to come with her. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, back in the day, I was really good at doing a lot of this stuff, and I've kind of walked away from it. And the way, like, the PC-ness of the world, it does, it makes it hard, and people's hearts are getting hardened the closer we are to the, you know, the end days, whenever that happens. But what I will say is, one thing that I learned, through taking other courses is that when you're presenting or having a conversation, if people reject you, they're really rejecting you. Don't personalize. It's not about us. We're not being rejected. And just be encouraged to keep on doing and planting those seeds, because the next person comes and waters and the next person weeds. And you don't know where you are out there in that cycle, right, of growing that tree for somebody. But this is how I got saved when I was little. Nobody ever talked to me about religion. Somebody gave me one of these. I was in my bedroom. I was probably about 14 years old. It was tucked away in a book, and I pulled it out, and this is what the Holy Spirit was. All by myself. So everything matters. It's just,
like, it was tucked away in the library or what?
Maybe a box. With,
so the book, Take a Book Places. I shove them in there too.
Yeah, that's what you shove them in.
You know those little like mini library house looking things at the park or whatnot, where you take a book and you leave a book. I'll put some, because there's Jehovah's Witnesses that camp out at Lake Rim Park, So I try to like counter them with that.
Is it wrong to take their
track? Because I approach them. They're pretty intense. That's it. If you really want to jump in the deep end, go to the Jehovah's Witness stand. And let me tell you, I got hours at that one. But yeah, but we've got the Lord, so we just keep on moving forward. Any other? I got 1 minute.
The only thing I would say, if you're doing the track thing,
yeah,
and you're talking to them, at the end, I would leave them with a name of either the church I attend or a church that's biblical, because there are a lot of churches out there that are not teaching the word.
That's a good idea.
I repent the healing thing from the sanctuary by handing them out to people last year. I guess that's why you keep refilling the sanctuary.
Yeah. Hey, you're moving anyway, so it's fine.
I have done it multiple times, but when I
pull
the
pen
out, I'm
going to go. We're going to pray real quick, and then we can chat it on up in lunch. That should be starting now. Okay, thank you, Lord. Just thank you so much for this faithful group of ladies and this biblically sound church that we're a part of, just so wonderful. I pray for the rest of the workshops today, Lord, that you are just with the ladies, and that we are just embracing this biblical womanhood that you have bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.